Okay, let's move to the next topic. This has to do with the fair value measurement and unit of account. And we have Shandy Lachman and Mariela Isan here to present us and have some questions to the group, which I think we can don't need the full 45 minutes, but I really depend on the comments.
Thanks.
On this topic, in July 2015, the ISP discussed how to proceed with the measurement proposals included in the exposure draft, measuring quoted investments in subsidiaries, joint ventures, and associates at fair value. The exposure draft proposed that the measurement of investments in subsidiaries, joint ventures, and associates at fair value, when these investments are quoted in an active market or quoted investments, should be based on the product of the quoted price for the individual financial instruments that make up the investment, or P, and the quantity of financial instruments held, or Q, i.e. P times Q. In addition, the ED proposed that the recoverable amount of cash-generating units on the basis of fair value less cost of disposal, when they correspond to entities that are quoted in an active market or quoted CGUs, should be based on P times Q. So at the meeting, at the board meeting in July, the ISP discussed possible project direction concerning the proposals in the ED and decided to undertake further research on the proposed measurement of quoted investments and quoted CGUs at fair value. As part of this research, the staff are gathering input from different parties, including valuation specialists, audit firms, preparers, users of financial statements, and securities regulators. Within this context, we would like to ask the GPF their views regarding the measurement proposals in the ED for both quoted investments and quoted CGUs. Starting with the first topic, the fair value measurement of quoted investments, please take a look to slide 5 of the slide pack. This slide summarizes the situations in which the fair value measurement is required or permitted, and therefore it illustrates the situation where the proposed measurement in the ED would be applied. In some of these situations, an entity would be required to apply the proposed measurement. For example, in the case of investment entities with quoted investments in subsidiaries. In other cases, entities will be permitted to apply the proposed measurement. For example, in the case of a non-investment entity accounting for its quoted investments in subsidiaries, joint ventures, or associates in its separate financial statements. We note that this slide may not portray all the situations in which the proposals may be applied. In this respect, some of the comment letters to the ED stated that there would be other instances in which the proposed measurement would also need to be applied. For example, the fair value measurement of previously held quoted investments under IFRS 3 business combinations and quoted investments within the scope of IFRS 5 non-current assets held for sale and discontinued operations. For the purposes of providing you with a general overview, we have only illustrated in this slide the situations reflected in the ED. For quoted investments, we have outlined a few questions on slide 6 of your pack. And we would like to ask the GPF to consider these items, specifically in respect of assessing if the measurement proposed in the ED would affect the manner in which your organization measures quoted investments, assess the relevance of the measurement proposed in the ED, and obtain your views on any recommendation provided by respondents in their comment letters to the ED. We would now like to kick off the discussion and ask the GPF for their views on the questions included in slide 6, starting with question 1. Would the proposed measurement in the ED affect the way in which your organization measures the fair value of quoted investments in subsidiaries, joint ventures, and associates?
Malcolm.
So you seem to have in the backup responses from many people saying that they disagree with the P times Q approach for large blocks of shares. Why would you not want to take that into account?
This is a summary of the main comments received in the comment letters. The board asked us in July to research on the measurement proposed in the ED, partly also because of these comments received, and we're going to start the deliberations after this research piece is presented to the board. So this is not something that the board has discarded to undertake or not to undertake. It is just that it's not the phase right now.
I mean, I can see why, especially perhaps people in the venture capital field and the banking and financial services field feel that P times Q is the right approach. But personally, I don't think it takes into account, you know, the saleability, the recoverability of a large block of shares, and just, you know, the marginal price you might be able to obtain for selling one is typically very different from selling a large block. You know, either you've got a discount, or if you're actually giving somebody else a controlling interest, you might even get a premium from from this. So I don't like the P times Q approach.
Again, the first question is more, I think the board has realized that many don't like that, but the question is now, what is the way forward? And we want to find out, is it really in practice an issue? That's the question to you. Do you have this kind of circumstances where you have this kind in the group consolidated companies where you have to really fair value a subsidiary or really a joint venture, and is it in practice really an issue, or is it more or less theoretical?
And I've mentioned that in prior meetings. We had a very long discussion with the SEC regulators about a particular situation where we had a previously held equity stake, a complex set of transactions, but because of actually IFRS 13 at the time, they actually were expecting us to recognize actually on the previously held equity interest, an incredible gain, but that minority stake didn't bring with it any specific special rights, etc. And the final price that we paid, that they wanted us to base the calculations on, we actually paid for the final tranche in this particular complex transaction a very large premium, because by buying out the final block of shares, which happened to be a quoted 23% interest, we could fully consolidate, we could avail ourselves of all of the synergies, etc. And it was a completely different rationale valuing that final block of shares to the first block of shares.
So it is really also a point which is happening in practice and has relevance. Kevin?
So I'm relatively indifferent, provided you keep the options, because then I can carry on with my historic cost. Because when I do my IFRS 13 fair value, I don't care if I use P times Q, because
In the separate financials?
Yep.
Options, okay.
In the separates, as long as I keep the option, you don't abolish that, I'm indifferent, because in my IFRS 13 disclosures and IFRS 7, when I do my fair values, I don't mind doing P times Q, because it doesn't matter. No one reads those notes in my industry in relatively
any interest. And in your group financials, is it?
But if you compel me to go to fair value, then I'm on Malcolm's page.
The proposals do not require entities to measure investments in fair value. They do just clarify if those investments are required or permitted to be measured at fair value, then the proposals just clarify how that fair value should be measured if those investments are quoted.
Agreed. I worry about IFRS creep. And so at the moment, I have an option, you know, and therefore today, I'm indifferent. If in 3 years' time you're going to consider taking away the option, then I've got to object today with where you're going.
In IAS 27, the measurement basis option in IAS 27.
Yes.
Okay.
So, because if I've got a significant influence, I'm on Malcolm's page. I'm getting a takeover premium for you to get my number. And so I'd be on this question three. Do the P times Q, do my value that I've got, and show you how I calculated the difference. Why I believe there's a takeover premium. If I it's no different than the basic, or the basis we use is no different than the way I have to use lots of management assumptions for an impairment test. I can do these management assumptions are consistent whether I'm doing an impairment or whether I'm doing a fair value, because I just regard the fair value as a negative impairment. So it's the same assumptions, quite consistent. I can get auditors on page, but the takeover premium exists, and we shouldn't be blind to the fact that in the real world it exists, and therefore we shouldn't be under-reporting to make users happy because they can quickly tick it.
Yeah.
That's not generally accepted accounting principle.
Okay, Shara.
Yes, thank you. I am on page 10. I'm reviewing the key messages from users. I must say that I don't really understand some of these messages. We may understand 1 and 2, or rational 1 and 2, because it is true that P times Q is less judgmental. It doesn't need to substantiate any other measurement. But in the context of the current methodology or the current rules, because if we had if we have a specific methodology to start from market price and to add or to add something, in that case it would not be judgmental. But as far as the two others are concerned, I have an issue. When we say that level one price is the most objective indicator that market participants would transact, that's not true. And one illustration that we can give is that you want, let's suppose you have 10% or 20% of company that is quoted and you want to buy 30% more or even more. In that case, you will be obliged to pay something else than the market price to get what you want to have from the market. So that's the illustration that the market price, the current price on the market, it's not the price, it's not the value of the company you want to acquire. That's the first element of my rationale. And the second, I don't understand the risk of doing business. In fact, it's not the risk of doing business, it's a risk to use a market price. If you have a methodology that do not use a market price, you will have not the one loss. Let's see. So I find these reasons not really convincing to stick with P times Q.
There are one question. I think the board has recognized that the control premiums are paid, but the question is, if we would change that now, saying it is P times Q, how relevant is it? Does it really? Because in practice, we don't think really that many companies have to fair value in their consolidated financial statements, joint ventures or subsidiaries. And it is for investment companies, we have given this exception, but for other companies, we don't think it is often that people have to do that. Can you confirm that, or do you think it is relevant because, okay, this kind of transactions happen because you have from time to time to fair value really a associated company or joint venture or a subsidiary?
I have to do it in the notes. I don't do it in the primary financial statements, but in my fair value assessment of my underlying assets, because it's a financial instrument, I book what my fair value is of this operation. At the moment, as I said earlier, I use P times Q because I don't care.
Yeah, but I don't see, based on my experience, I don't see so many cases where you have a subsidiary which is listed, because P times Q, you must have a listed price.
Yeah.
And I don't see that so often that, okay, that your subsidiary is also listed or your joint venture is also listed. I don't see that is in practice very often happening. That is maybe a rare case.
It's less in Europe, because pyramid structures have been done away with. The pyramid structures still exist in the rest of the world. We have several pyramid structures still inside South Africa.
So it is relevant in
where
Europe,
they've got subsidiaries that are listed.
Yeah.
One's the fifth largest on our market cap.
It would be really great if you can give us some of these examples. Okay, where that is really
relevant. You can go onto the website. The entity's name is Bidvest, BIDVEST. They operate in the UK as well, and they've got listed subsidiaries in their group.
Okay, Sandra.
We have a handful of listed subsidiaries that are that I don't think that this would really be helpful information. And I wanted to go back to what Gerard was saying. I think that the third bullet there where it says it's the most objective indicator, I would say the most objective indicator is what your negotiated price is. And so there's, I think, a difference of opinion on, you know, what is the most objective indicator. And certainly a result of a day one gain or loss when you have a negotiated price, I think, is not good GAAP. But we do have, you know, Imperial Oil, which is one of the largest Canadian companies, is a listed subsidiary of our company. And then we have a French listed company, a Thai listed company, a Malaysian listed company. So it does impact, it would impact large corporations as well.
Okay, thanks for that. Any other?
Just to clarify, though, I mean, is this change just for the requirements for venture capital companies?
No.
This is not just for that, is it?
No.
This is for valuation of any quoted.
Yeah. And for example, if you lose control, then you have to fair value.
Yeah.
If it is, for example, an at equity stake,
exactly.
Then you have to fair value that, and if that is a listed company, then you have to apply that.
Yeah,
which
you, yeah. So we're on the same page.
Or if you have to do a fair an impairment test, and looking at the fair value, and your cash generating unit is a listed company, then this would also apply.
Yeah. And Martin, and that's where one of the other issues pop, because when I want to lose control, I've negotiated with you today, but we settle 3 months hence, which isn't the fair value that we transact at, it's another one. So the control premium has been eradicated over time anyway.
So on page 6 you've got the proposal that came in from somebody.
Yes, that's right.
I mean, that's not a bad starting point, I would say. But you required a note to do a reconciliation and explain why you've not used P times Q. I mean, I wouldn't have any problem with that.
Yeah. And if you have to have paid a control premium, and I think you should be able to explain why it is a little bit different from the market.
Mm-hmm. Martin, just one quick question. This project has been underway for some time. I'm just curious, because I haven't been keeping abreast, and it was obviously in an area where we developed a substantially converged standard with the United States, with the FASB. Has the FASB undertaken any examination of this question while we've been doing this?
The FASB did its post-implementation review of the fair value standard
right.
in 2014, and they did not identify any issue with the fair value measurement of quoted investments.
So if we go down this path, we would be kind of going in a separate direction, right, with US GAAP?
If we ended up
in slide 6,
concluding that the fair value measurement of those quoted investments should be measured based on a valuation technique, then that clarification would make us depart from what is current practice in the States. Yeah.
Gotcha.
But we are now in the research phase, so we would have to report back to the board. And then we do have also the post-implementation review of IFRS 13 coming up next year. So I don't know when the board will like to make any decision on this topic.
Oh, Olivia?
Just a thing, I'm not sure to understand. If it's related to a subsidiary, that means that you have you fully control that company.
Yes.
So if you... You have it in your consolidation. I don't see why you should register something at fair value, because it is like other companies you control, fully control.
If you're an investment entity, you are required.
If you are an investment
entity.
You are required, but if you are not, you have an option.
In IAS 27.
Yes.
In your separate financial statements.
In your separate financial statements. Yes. In your.
Because I better understand that you should, for example, disclose the fair value, the fair share.
Yeah.
As information, but I would not have changed the accounting of assets and liabilities.
No. So if in IAS 27 you have chosen cost to measure the investment in your associate, for example, in IFRS 12, there is a disclosure requirement. If it's there, so you would provide the disclosure requirement in IFRS 12, but you would keep with IAS 27 the choice you have done.
Then subsidiary, because on subsidiary you are not at equity, but on subsidiary you are fully controlled and you are consolidated to line by line. So you have no investment assets. You have every type of asset, underlying asset of the subsidiary.
Any other comments? So any other questions from you?
Cash generating units, maybe, just to confirm slide 7.
So just very quickly on slide 7, it addresses measuring quoted CGUs at fair value. And ED proposes that the recoverable amount of a quoted CGU measured on the basis of fair value less cost of disposal should be based on P times Q as well. And we would like to ask the GPF how relevant you think the measurement of the recoverable amount of quoted CGUs is on the basis of fair value cost of disposal using P times Q, and whether the proposed measurements have any unforeseen consequences affecting the impairment test of quoted CGUs.
I don't understand the difference between, it should be the same answer whichever way you're doing the calculation. If you're not happy with P times Q to write up, you shouldn't be happy with P times Q to write down.
Yeah.
The answer. You're just not happy with P times Q. You know, if your investment's really bad, then it's going to be P times Q minus a discount.
Yeah.
Definitely not a control premium.
Have you observed many instances when a CGU corresponds to a quoted entity? Yeah?
Was there a subsidiary or an associate?
Yes, it's a subsidiary.
Subsidiary?
It's a group.
Yeah, you've got Nissan. You have the problem with Nissan.
I it's partial. So
yeah.
I would say.
So
I think we would conclude the same. I mean, it's perhaps not so often that you have a quoted CGU, but I guess you could have it.
Yeah, we heard from the ASAF, it is maybe not so often, but if it happens, it could have a huge impact. And therefore, it is really an issue. Okay. You are happy?
Yes.
Good.
So what's the time for deliberating and coming out with a diverged opinion then to US GAAP?
In November, we are starting presenting the words, the first outcome, the first results of this research. In December, we should do the same. And then from those outcomes presented to the board, then probably early 2016, then the board will need to make a decision on this project. I would imagine that to be the time frame.
I think we should not rush on that.
Yeah, I can't see it as an urgent issue.
Okay, then.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Perfect timing.